So the question has been asked, am I a bona fide spiritual master? That is the question that's been asked. So Prabhupada, when asked such questions, he would answer that if I told you that I'm a bona fide spiritual master, will you take it? Because I say, therefore you accept that I am? That's one thing he would do. That's one way he would answer such a question. If I tell you I'm a bona fide spiritual master, will you accept that I am? You see, that's one way he would do. So what other... So if I'm... do you accept my word is true? Whatever I say is true. You see. So if you accept whatever I say is true, I'll just tell you, yes, I am. But if I'm bogus, you see, and I say that I am, then you just got deceived. You were a naive fool. Let's say I'm not a bona fide spiritual master and I'm a bogus, you know, one of these pretenders, one of these counterfeits, you see, and I tell you, oh yes, I'm a bona fide spiritual master. And you're foolishly thinking that yes, because he said yes, therefore he is. You see, so my saying yes I am or no I'm not, it doesn't really have, that's not how you can get the answer. You see what I'm saying? This is my telling you yes I'm a bona fide spiritual master doesn't really enlighten you. Because I could be one who's telling you the truth, or I could be a charlatan, a counterfeit one who's deceiving you. You may naively think, oh yes, Gurudev, Gurudev, Gurudev. He doesn't lie, because he's a bona fide spiritual master. What happens if I'm just an expert cheater, deceiving you? So, if when the question is asked, are you a bona fide spiritual master, the question is not, yes or no. The answer is not yes or no. You're not properly guided if I just say, oh yes, I'm a bona fide spiritual master. The proper way that the spiritual master answers that question is to give you the tools, to give you the techniques, to give you the methodology where you can yourself can discern who is a bona fide spiritual master and who is not. And that is the proper way to answer such a question. It's like, let's say you wanted to go into business as a gold merchant. I say, okay, sonny boy, I'll set you up as a gold merchant, and here, give me $50,000. I'll give you $50,000 worth of gold. This is less than wholesale, so you can have a very successful business. Give me your $50,000, and here's the gold. And then you find out actually it wasn't even real gold. And then you got ripped off for $50,000, and your so-called mentor has skipped town to the 50 grand. You see? So the actual person who's going to set you up is a gold merchant. You see, he'll teach you how to tell the difference between real gold and imitation gold. That, and the bona fide spiritual master, he will teach you how to tell the difference between who is a bona fide spiritual master and who is not. And then you will actually know. So the question you've asked, am I a bona fide spiritual master, is actually irrelevant. If one's desire is to actually find a bona fide spiritual master, it's an irrelevant question. Are you a bona fide spiritual master? And the real question is, how does one recognize who is a bona fide spiritual master? And that is the actual question that should be asked. And that answer is answered. We just studied that in the Srimad Bhagavatam this morning about the sadhu. That was the subject matter of our class this morning, the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We learned what are the qualities of a sadhu. You see, he's merciful, he's tolerant, and there are other verses as well. By carefully reading the Bhagavad Gita, reading about the qualities of a Brahmin, a Brahmin means he's a bona fide spiritual master of the human society. Shama damas tapasho cham chantir arjama vacham. by studying all the qualities and characteristics mentioned in the scriptures very carefully, and also praying to Lord Krishna, who is seated within our heart as Chaitya Guru, the Guru within. The original Guru is Krishna. The original bona fide spiritual master is Krishna. And that person externally who purely represents Krishna, he is also Guru. He is the external Guru, you see. Guru within, Guru without. Krishna is the Guru within, and then out and externally we have the spiritual master also. Bona fide spiritual master. So we have to see that person who perfectly represents Krishna in his every thought, his every word, and his every deed. That person is spiritual master. Of course, in one sense, any devotee is understood to be a spiritual master, because they do all represent Krishna to a greater or lesser extent. But what we do need to find out, as Prabhupada points out, is we really need a spiritual master who is completely pure. That's what we actually need. So, and we can feel very blessed that we have one such spiritual master who's the foundacharya of our movement. She is Divine Guru Srila Prabhupada. We know absolutely he's completely pure. No doubt about it. And he's given us all these books so we can understand what is the proper path of bhakti. So we're fortunate we have one such highly, purely enlightened spiritual master on the highest level so we can know from Prabhupada what is, when we come to the point of choosing who our initiating guru should be, we have Prabhupada's perfect knowledge, perfect example, perfect teachings to guide us on who should actually be our initiating spiritual master. Who is, in this way, by studying Prabhupada's books, we will know. There's so many wonderful verses, like in the Mundaka Upanishad, Tad Viganara Tam Saguru Meva Vigashat Samit Panihi Shrotiyam Zamanishtam. That is described that that one must approach Guru, and Guru is understood as one who has perfectly heard the Vedic wisdom and is repeating it as it is, and who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. He's solid. Brahma Nishtam means he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's not that when Prabhupada came here to establish our movement that he would, you know, preach during the day and you know, give Monday, Wednesday, and Friday Bhagavad Gita class, and on Tuesday and Thursday he would go uptown for the Broadway plays, you see. He had no interest in Krishna. It's not that when the traveling Sankirtan party devotee, you see, is going through Florida, thinking, well, we got to go take a day off and enjoy Disney World. They might go there to distribute books. They're not going to go in there to go on the rides, you see, because they have no interest. Someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not interested. They're getting so much nectar from what they're doing, they don't want to come down off that platform. That's all. It's not artificial renunciation. That, oh, I really wanted to go watch that movie, and you know, the rules of bhakti say that I can't. Oh, I really wanted to go. I had one girl wrote me a letter. That's when this Tolkien's trilogy, I forget what they call it, but it was a big famous movie, and it was showing there in Riga, and she really wanted to go because she had been following it all along, and I said, no, you shouldn't go. You have to detach yourself. And she did that and became my initiated disciple. And she felt so happy that I'd saved her from that. Madhavi Lata Devi Dasi is her name now. She actually wanted to go to see that movie, the third in the series, but I told her no. All her friends were going. It was the talk of the town, but she stayed back and just chanted Hare Krishna. And she was so happy she did that, because she felt now that she had achieved something far greater than the temporary pleasure of watching that movie. She achieved something far, far greater. So the bona fide spiritual master doesn't have a need to enjoy any mundane thing that I have to, you know, oh, you know, Bob Dylan's in town and I used to like him and he was before I joined the movement, so I have to go hear Bob Dylan, you know. Spiritual master doesn't have any mixed desires like that. He's simply fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He has no taste, no desire, anything outside of Krishna consciousness. That is the bona fide spiritual master. So there are actually many, many descriptions given in the eight prayers also that we sing every morning. We have those eight prayers. So there's innumerable places where you can go and study and actually learn what is a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, if you actually, you want an honest answer from the spiritual master, you ask him, are you a bona fide spiritual master? You want to know what he really thinks inside his own heart, what he really feels about himself? Spiritual master feels that he is lower than the stool of a pig. That he's not even, the spiritual master doesn't even think that he's a devotee. He's just praying that someday he can actually become a devotee of Krishna. That's how he feels about himself. That is the natural humility of an advanced devotee, is he doesn't even feel that he's a devotee. What to speak of thinking he's an advanced devotee, he doesn't even think that he's a devotee. The bona fide spiritual master doesn't even think that he's a devotee within his heart, but externally he has to, for the sake of preaching, he has to act in a different way, accept the worship of his disciples, etc., for their benefit. But actually he doesn't feel that he's even worthy of being, you know, being told the time of day, actually. Even though he's accepting so much service from his disciples, so much money, so much loving offering, so many ways they're serving him, giving their whole lives to him. But he does that, even though he's feeling unfit to do that, he does it on behalf of his acharya, who's doing it on behalf of his acharya, who's doing it on behalf of his acharya, all the way back to Krishna. So if you ask me if I'm a bona fide spiritual master, I have to say, I just pray that I can be a devotee someday. I'm just begging the Vaishnavas that I can be a devotee someday. That's how the spiritual master feels about himself. But now I'm a demon. I'm just praying that by the mercy of all the devotees that someday I can be a devotee. And you say, but he can't advertise that because they go, who are going to take shelter of some demon? See, the general public doesn't understand the humility. I think, oh, he said he's a demon. So why should we go and learn from a demon? We're not supposed to hear from demons. And the spiritual master thinks he's a demon, so why should we hear from him? So it takes an advanced devotee to understand the mood of the humility of a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, externally, he poses himself as, you know, representative of Krishna, etc., for the benefit of the students. Prabhupada gave the example of that in British rule in India, you had the viceroy there. He's like vice president, viceroy, you see. He represents the king. And the king is, the British Empire was so broad and expansive, how often the king of England came to India? Not that often, but the viceroy stayed there on behalf of the king. So the viceroy would be traveling around India, this part, so wherever he'd go, they treat him like he was the king. They would give him so many gifts. Where did those gifts go? They were all sent to London. He didn't get to pocket the gifts. He took the honor, the worship, the gifts, but everything was meant for London. So the spiritual master is like that. He feels himself unworthy, but it's his duty on behalf of the government, namely Krishna, to accept all the, collect all the offerings of love. Because otherwise, where will the disciple connect? Where will he get a personal connection with Krishna? Krishna is still vague for us until we become fully self-realized. He's some concept for us. Or maybe a photograph or a stone statue. I mean, we're just not, even though it is Krishna, we don't realize it's Krishna. But the spiritual master is there in a personal form. We can see him, we can touch him, we can ask him questions, we can develop a loving relationship with him as an intimate servant. So in this way, this enables us to actually revive that dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart. So the spiritual master then will agree to take that degree of love and service that is actually meant to be offered to the Lord. And he agrees to accept that degree of love and humility and surrender the disciples give to him. Even though it's actually an embarrassment for the spiritual master, people bowing down at his feet, bathing his feet. worshiping him as if he's God. You see, that's an embarrassment, but it's something that he tolerates for the sake of helping the disciples to revive that dormant Krishna Bhakti within the heart. So, am I a bona fide spiritual master? I'm just praying for your mercy that I can be a devotee someday. And you can judge. Let you decide whether I'm a bona fide spiritual master or not by studying the scriptures, by studying me. Studying my, how do I speak, how do I act, and what sort of, you know, which are the indications of how I'm thinking. You study my speech and my activities, which you can see. You can't see my what's going on inside my head, but you can hear what I say and you can see what I do. By observing carefully what I say and what I do, then you can begin to understand how I'm thinking. And if that thinking and speaking and acting matches the descriptions given in the Vedas of a bona fide spiritual master, then you can understand that I am indeed a bona fide spiritual master. And if it doesn't, you can understand that I'm bogus. And you can shun my association. Report me to the GBC. There's a bogus guru out here named Sankarshan Das Adhikari posing as spiritual master. Please put a stop to him right now before he misguides anyone else. Any other questions?